is MC Fireside Chats, a weekly show featuring conversations with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and outdoor hospitality experts who share their insights to help your business succeed. Hosted by Brian Searle, the founder and CEO of Insider Perks, and powered by insights from Modern Campground, the most innovative news source in the industry.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MC Fireside Chats. My name is Brian Searle with Insider Perks. Super excited to be here with you for an episode number three of our monthly series focused on campground owners and whatever we decide to talk about. It's supposed to be focused on campground owners. I don't know what the actual plan is for today, what we're going to talk about, if it's going to relate to campground owners, but that's the overall theme, so just roll with it if you're listening. So super excited to have a couple of our recurring guests here, Candace McNamara from Staylist, Greg Embert from Camp Strategy. Going to let you guys introduce yourself in a second, and then we have some special guests, Bobby Sorden from Supplier Spot, Craig Alsop, and Richard Chandler. We're going to introduce themselves as well. So let's just start with our recurring guests here. Let's go with Candace. I was going to go Greg first, but then Greg missed my bird thing that I had going on last week. So Candace, you're up number one. Candace is muted. She doesn't want to talk to us this morning. Candace.
Here. Hey, this is Candace McNamara. I'm the Chief Growth Officer at Staylist. Really, we're an all-in-one platform for reservation software that also includes a point-of-sale system and all the other bells and whistles.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, Candace. Greg.
Hi, Greg Emmerich, co-founder at Camp Strategy Consultants. My partner Jeff Hoffman and I are like Swiss Army knife to the campground industry. So we're not into management, but we can help you with consulting, SOPs, operations, design, all the like. So looking forward to the conversation today, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Greg, I don't want to give you a hard time, but why a Swiss Army knife? Because I own like a Leatherman and it's got way more tools.
We can go Leatherman if you want. That, I suppose, is the cooler one. Maybe I'm too old. I still love the idea of the old 5-inch thick Victrinix red plastic scales on the side. And there's 100 tools in there. You got to move 6 out of the way to get
that. That's true. I guess if you get the really fat one.
Yes. And, yeah. Like, the one that doesn't fit in your pocket.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Richard, there you go.
Yeah, I'm Rich Chandler. 10 years ago, we bought a failing campground. We're in Wisconsin, in the central part. We did have 3.5 inches of rain last night, but we're opening this weekend. We're open 6 months a year. We have 140 sites, about half of them weekend and half of them are seasonal, and 70 acres. So we kind of learned. We were not in the industry at all before, so we've learned the hard way, but we think we have learned quite a bit.
That's okay. I learn about it every day, and it's been 15 years, and I don't think I figured out anything. Way ahead of where I'm at. So, Craig.
Hey, yeah. Craig Alsop here. I'm the owner of Askew Landing RV Campground. We're in central Mississippi, right off of Interstate 20. Like Richard, bought a failing park. We bought it last year, though, in June, and have learned a lot already. But we've turned it around a lot. I think every month we've made more money than the previous owner was making monthly. So that's nice. Even when we went from 70 something sites full to about 15 or 20 on purpose. But yeah, it's been good. So excited to chat.
Awesome. Super excited to hear more about your park. Excuse me if I could talk. Jeez. Okay. Bobby, introduce yourself before I can just choke more.
All right. Yeah, I'm Bobby Sorden. Thanks for having me, Brian. Fun to be here. I'm with the Supplier Spot. I've been in the industry for about 2 years now as a supplier part of the industry. I'm an avid camper, 36-foot fifth wheel, boat, all that type of stuff. I used to work for one of the park management software companies in the industry, no longer with them as of December of last year. So I started Supplier Spot, a marketplace for campground owners to find suppliers in the industry. So I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Excited to hear more about that. Before we got to go around to our special guests, hear about their stories, their campgrounds, their websites, things like that. Two recurring guests, Greg and Candace, who are here. Do you guys have anything that's come across your desk in the last month that you feel like is important to pay attention to?
Oh, that's a good one. Candace, you ladies first, of course, I can.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't hear exactly what you asked.
What do you mean hear what I ask?
You said, did you have any end up on your desk?
And I was that's like, just proof that nobody pays attention to the host. I knew it in my gut. I felt it, but now it's just proven. Is there anything in the last month that you feel like has come across your desk that you think is important for us to discuss? Campground owner perspective.
Yeah, from a campground owner perspective.
Yeah.
So I would say a couple of things that have really popped up is this big need for point of sale. Everyone's opening up, right? So we're getting all that glitz and glam around, hey guys, I want to optimize this. So all the strategies, all the things that people have gone to these trade shows, they're starting to really implement. So the one thing I can say from the software end is that people are really getting really focused, way more than kind of getting the bang for the buck and really optimizing different tools that we haven't really seen before take off the way that they have. And I think it's the really adaptation of people focusing more digitally and really trying to capture the income that they were capturing during COVID. So we've seen a couple of case study examples have been online ordering menus have become really big. People opening up new restaurants. What are some other areas? Oh, RFID bands has been another thing. So just really optimizing. So less of even like around the software, it's just been a lot of movement and push, not necessarily switch softwares or do anything like that, but just to bolster whatever offerings they've already had.
Yeah, tech is one of those things, as my dog barks next to me. Tech is one of those things that obviously interests me. I'm a big geek and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's, I don't want to say exciting, although it is from my perspective, right? To see all this new technology finally that's been around for years and years, right? Like I remember going to Disney World like 8 years ago and had an RFID band. And it just seems like a natural fit for a campground to throw that on somebody's wrist. And then, of course, I'm going to buy more things if I don't have to pull out cash and see what I'm spending. So it's exciting to see, yeah, some of that stuff take off. I'm still waiting for the hologram, which honestly should come from Staylist.
Yeah.
Like I want a little man to pop out and hologram on my desk and be like, hi, I'm here to help you from whatever, from Staylist.
You just
I'm
let us
Staylister,
know.
Or whatever your mascot is, right? How can I
help you? Staylister. He's yeah. A little, yeah, he's like our Clippy. Yeah, no, it's exciting. I'm stepping into the next one. I agree with you. The technology's been there for a while. We're just really adapting to it, and it's been magical. I think you hit on one thing before. I don't want to take the floor too often, but one of the things that you really hit on that I really see people adapting to the technology is around cashless park experiences. No more of carrying a credit card or cash or losing all that stuff. Those wristbands, things like that, totally working, and they're seeing indexes go up. Even within the first couple of people have done some soft opens, like new parks, people that had taken over parks, but that cashless experience kind of like lightened years prior.
And that plays into the marketing too, from a safety perspective, right? Like why get robbed by our seasonals when you could not carry cash and be safe?
Yeah.
It may or may not work anymore, I don't know. But so what else have we seen, guys, the rest of the people who are on the show, right? From a technology perspective, what have you seen? And I know, Bobby, you use the reservation system, so you have some insights here, but you also obviously deal with a bunch of suppliers now at Supplier Spot. So what have you been seeing as far as pick up on different areas of technology?
Yeah, just what Candace was saying is there's just a lot of this integration development that's been wanting to come about. I know when I was working with the other software company, they were talking about the RFID bands. A lot, I think, what's just coming out is, as Brian, this is right up your alley, of course, all the AI stuff that's happening as well. I think park owners are starting to grasp onto the concept of utilizing AI as ways to help them with marketing their park or building out content to help with digital ads, or if they're doing any sort of marketing ads and things of that nature. A lot of suppliers I've been talking to, they're really liking the concept of, as Canada was saying, the cashless type parks. Just being able to, with the software I was working for, you just had to know what your reservation site was, and you could charge everything right to your reservation account, just like the same way you would at a hotel. And I think that's just becoming more and more popular. People are just carrying around their phones now. They're not even carrying around any sort of cash or credit cards or anything. And a lot of the suppliers I'm talking to, they're just getting on board with that, especially with the marketplace of Supplier Spot. I built this platform where you could actually buy and sell items directly through the platform, whether it be a supplier selling to an RV park campground owner or a campground owner actually selling some pre-used equipment. Everything's just this integration of software that's really helping out with everything.
So you and I, let's talk about Supplier Spot for a second, because you and I had a conversation about this and we had talked about those different types of offerings that you have. And so I think it's important to differentiate between the two because they're both great benefits.
Yeah.
So talk first about suppliers, since you're a Supplier Spot, and then we can talk about the marketplace.
Yeah, definitely. So my idea came about I was laid off from the other job in December. So when I left that, the idea sparked up to me because being a supplier in the industry, I really wanted to build a platform that I thought a lot of the suppliers and campground owners would really like to use. So my first inclination was to make it a directory per se, where campground owners could just go and find whatever services or products they're looking for. And then I taught, before I launched it, I talked to several park owners and several suppliers to get their thoughts and feedback. And a lot of it was, can I sell items through the site? And I said, sure, I can make that happen. So for the supplier piece, there's companies out there like Liquified. They sell the RV toilet treatment type stuff. They're their own company. Everything that they sell is through them. So even the Amazon account that they have is their account. So they decided to put the items up on Supplier Spot. And now my job is to help market it to the campground owners for them to buy directly through Supplier Spot. So that's the piece of the supplier selling. Now, the other piece, though, is you don't have to sell anything as a supplier. You can actually just have a listing on there where, for example, Candace is on there. And Candace, it's totally ironic that I scheduled out my content calendar for social media posts with the 1st of April. And this day to be on here is the day that I promoted Stayless. So
you planned it. It's fine.
As soon as you popped on, I was like, oh, Candace is on here. Oh, I promoted the Stayless. So anyway, yeah. So where I was going with that is just all they are is just the park management software. So they just list on there where if somebody like Richard or Craig was looking for a new software, they could go to Supplier Spot, send an inquiry to Candace and just start talking to them. I'm also promoting the associations on there as well. So from the supplier piece and association piece, that's what the Supplier Spot is doing at this moment.
So tell me what, and I'm just going to give you one hard question, right? Tell me what sets you, because you did tell me, and it's like I agreed with your answer, right? So I want you to just be able to get this out here. Sure. So tell me what the difference is between a Supplier Spot and, for example, an association who would list their members or vendors to look at or something like that.
Yeah, the main difference, I believe, is just the selling through the platform. So as I mentioned earlier, say, Richard, we'll say that you're upgrading your meters and say you're going to like the new wireless meters. Well, your analog meters are just as good. And now you have, say, 50 meters laying around. If there's other campground owners like Craig, who's expanding his campground and he doesn't have the new wireless meters, you could post those meters on Supplier Spot and Craig could go and purchase them directly from you and you guys would figure out the shipping and how to get the meters to each other. So that's the big difference, Brian, is it's not just a place to list suppliers. It's a marketplace where people can have interactions specifically through the RV parks and campgrounds.
So you're trying to sell Craig old meters.
That's where I ended up with it. Exactly. Well, Richard is, and I'm just going to, and part of my platform, I'll get a small transaction piece out of that just to keep the platform running and moving up. But that was the concept behind it. I did talk to one park where they were wanting to sell their old deep fryer from their cafe. They weren't using it anymore. So they were going to list it on there and sell it to another park. And that's where my role comes in, is I have a background in branding and marketing. I'm going to help market it out to the parks. I'm attending trade shows. I'm paying to have a booth there and support the associations and let them know that, hey, I'm coming out to support you guys. And then when I get new suppliers on the Supplier Spot, I ask them, hey, are you part of these associations? If not, you should register and become a supplier member or go and attend the trade show they're having or something of that nature. So I'm all about making the industry just better as a whole.
Why sell everything for a fixed price, though? You should just run these associations auctions for them. You can just get up and air fryer, $40, and then you can talk really fast.
Yeah.
And then you could make the parks even more money, right?
There you go. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think it's a good strategy. But so tell us about, dive a little bit deeper into that marketplace aspect of it, right? Because I see the value, as I told you on the phone, right? Definitely of the suppliers being on there, gaining more visibility, being able to compare and contrast people from all in one place. There's definitely a value in that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like there's so many people in Mark Kep's Facebook group who's a recurring guest on our show, yeah, the first week's episode, and some of those other places that they're just posting in there. And yes, sometimes they're selling that stuff, but that's mm-hmm. only to the X number of people who are in that group and who are paying attention that day and who Facebook's algorithm decides wants to show it to them. And so it's limited.
Yeah. So the great thing about the marketplace is even, for example, say you have an old kayak or something and you're just not using it anymore, Brian. Say you're just, I'm not getting out using this thing anymore. It's 80 degrees. It's too hot for me, right? That's what you were saying earlier.
80 degrees. What is that? That's really hot in Celsius.
So you're like, hey, I'm not using this this kayak anymore. You could go and create a listing right on Supplier Spot because campground owners might want to buy that kayak to have as a rental at their park or their campground. So that's the marketplace piece of it, is it doesn't have to be just secluded to suppliers or RV parks or campgrounds. It's just a location where anybody could go on and post anything and sell and buy anything you want. It's like an eBay, but directly geared for RV parks and campgrounds.
Now, I want everybody on this call to know he said anything. So if you have a stray cat that's running around your campground that you want to get rid of, No delivery, right? You got to come pick it up.
You'll have to figure that out. The great
unruly,
thing is
unruly children as well. Is that a because that no. Now you're getting traffic. If you yeah, exactly. That, you're getting traffic.
We're getting.
But you're getting. You're trafficking something. That's for sure.
No.
That's but you do bring up a good point, Brian. I approve all listings before they go live. So something like what you're just talking about won't go on a site without me approving.
Okay. So
it.
Anything asterisk.
Exactly. Got a little asterisk, a little disclaimer.
Almost
there.
Anything. All right.
You can go ahead and post it, but I'll look at it first. And if it's something that's inappropriate or something, it's not going on the sites.
So talk to me about this from a campground owner's perspective. If I'm a campground owner, am I charged for listing? Or if I'm a buyer, am I charged for buying?
So the way it's working right now is just a 10% transaction for the listing. I'm not charging any sort of subscription fees right now or anything of that nature. I'm pretty much using this year to see how I can get it built up and see how it's going to work out. And I'm attending some trade shows in the fall just to help promote it. But from a park owner perspective, if you listed, say, Richard listed his meters on there and he charged $100 for 5 meters, that's a 10% transaction. So I would get $10 out of that $100. So that just comes right off the top of the payout.
Do you have meters, Richard?
No.
I'm just trying to get him business, okay? Some good's got to come out of his appearance on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll think there's no ROI for being on the show. You'll never come back.
Yeah, so that's one of the great things about being on Supplier Spot is you don't pay anything out of pocket right off the get-go. The only time you're making money, or the only time I'm making money, is if you're making money. So that's why I'm building it out. And I just want it to be a place that people enjoy going to and finding information. Like I even created a page called Trade Shows and Conferences. So I have all the upcoming ones that I know of listed on there with information to go right to the trade shows and conferences for those associations so people can get more information. So I'm just trying to get traffic to the site and make it a place that people will really want to go and check out.
All right, I want to move on to Craig and Richard for a second, but I do want to say just from a marketing idea, I'm full of these if you just want to book an appointment with me.
Sure, sounds good.
I'm not saying they're good, yeah. But I think the Good Sam model or the Southeast Publications model would work well for you. Just work with a bunch of full-time RVers, have them stay at the park, walk around and like randomly scream at the sight of trash or old meters and or leave a review on Google and say, boy, there's a bunch of stuff sitting around this park. It's so gross. I wish they'd sell it on Supplier Spot.
There you go. Yeah, I thought I'd just take my phone and list it myself.
Yeah.
I'm listing this. It's laying next to this tree. So.
All right. So, yeah, anyway. All right. So don't listen to anything I have to say. Let's go with Craig. Craig, Hughes Landing RV Campground. Tell us what you got there, sir. How'd you get into it?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say that I cannot buy those meters because my local electric company swears that there's a law in Mississippi that an individual or a private business cannot have meters in their possession or it's illegal. Wow. But they're yet to show me this law.
Did you ask ChatGPT this and verify it?
Because I know everything. Have you contacted Wild Energy or any of those guys too?
Because they might. Yeah. So. I've chatted with Wild Energy a little bit. They can't find that law on the books either. But our electric company swears to us that if we have those in our possession and they find out, they'll shut all our electric off. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Very strange. But
okay. I'll get into that.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that, but I feel like we should talk about your campground first.
Yeah. So bought the campground. It was started in the late 70s within the Askew family. I bought it last June of 2023. We've got 83 sites. We've got 100% of those sites full this weekend, which is cool. And we're running about 60% full all the time now, actually 60% plus. So it's been a long road thus far. A lot of stuff learned. Like Richard said, I wasn't in the industry before. Just saw a deal. I'm a serial entrepreneur and saw a deal, saw this campground that looked like it had a whole lot of potential. And just that sort of serial entrepreneur frustration with seeing something that's underutilized was enough to get me asking some questions. And so bought the park and we've renovated almost everything. We've fixed nearly everything they had and added a ton of amenities and increased the prices about double what they were and still blowing and going. So it's been really good so far.
I don't like to talk here for those of you who know. I just only talk because my recurring guests here, Greg and Candace, refuse to talk and ask questions.
Oh, I got a question.
That would make it a way. Bobby, you can ask some questions. I want Greg from Camp Strategy, who turns around all these campgrounds and consults and knows exactly what needs to be better at every place. You said you fixed everything. I want Greg to make sure of that.
But go ahead. Give me all of your information.
Yeah, I'll download it. I got one of those plugs in the back of my head, like Neo. Brian installed it at the last convention, so all we need is that piece. Just jam it in, and I can just send it to you overnight.
That's perfect. Perfect.
And I will say this right off the bat. Is I know I don't have clients in Mississippi, but I know of parks that are fully metered
in Mississippi,
in that state. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they're just misinformed. They're not misguiding you with any intent, but I don't do... my BS meter is going off on that one. So I'll do a little poking around and get back to you if I find anything out too, because that I've never heard of that. And maybe once you install them in the sockets, they're no longer in your possession. If they don't catch you actually holding it, maybe that's what
the other flip side of this, right? Is think about it from an electrical company perspective. This is a small electrical company, right? Small electric, or they provide, right? Maybe it's so they don't want a meter, so they don't want to lose money on the power that's being used.
Yeah, because it does make your guests much more conservative on their... We bought our park when I was still an owner-operator. My parents bought our park in 94. We fully metered the park by 96, and our electric bills dropped by almost 35%. Because people were... They go from running everything all the time to, holy cow, that's my bill now. I'm responsible. So it that sounds plausible, Brian. I could see that.
Yeah, I've chatted with some park owners down on the coast that meter their electric, and they are under a different electric company, but they're like, yeah, that's not correct. There's no law in the books in Mississippi that you can't self-meter. We'll see. We'll get there.
If they threaten,
we'll fight that fight.
Technically, they could cut off your power if they don't like it, regardless of whether it's a law or not. So that's an interesting... Bobby, you had a question.
Yeah, I was curious, Craig. So you said it came from the Askew's family. Is it part of the stipulation that you keep the name for the campground, or do you want to? I'm just always curious about buying a business that has like a person's name involved with it.
Yeah, so we kept the name. Askew's Landing is a place name. It was named after the family that have owned that place since the 1800s. Askew's Landing was the site of a ferry crossing on the Big Black River that basically connected the east side of Mississippi and that area to Vicksburg. And so we kept it based upon it being a place name. Yeah. There was also some long history there. Not everybody was mad at them, so we decided to keep it and do our best with just turning the park around and showing people that it's still the same name, but a different place.
Cool, interesting.
So I know we wanted to talk a little bit about, or at least in my notes, the different amenities that you offer, Craig. So you want to touch on a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. We inherited a saltwater swimming pool. It was being shut down in September of every year and kept closed until May. And then they were fighting the fight to get the water right in May and in April and May every year. But we realized that we could just keep it up and running all winter long in Mississippi and not have to fight that fight. And we had people swimming in it in November, late November. And we had people get in it this year in February.
Plunge. I have one. It's a polar plunge.
It was a little cold, but it was kids getting in it, and kids don't care apparently.
Nope.
But that's been a good upgrade update. We also have a rental pavilion there. It's pretty big. Hosts big parties. We've hosted a couple weddings thus far this year, birthday parties, family reunions, all that stuff. We added a bunch of lawn games, cornhole, horseshoes, all that kind of stuff. We've got a half basketball court. We've got a big field for playing sports, and we've got balls that you can check out. We added a tetherball. We added an entire playground for kids with all kinds of playground activities and stuff. Tons of stuff that we've added in the camp store. We found out that the previous owner had not revamped or re-upped his laundry commitment with the company that was providing laundry stuff to him. And so we went to them and said, hey, what can you do for us? And they said, we'll give you all new machines and we'll give you 10% more of the cut of the money that those machines bring in. And now everybody doesn't have to have quarters. They can use the app or a card to pay. And we've already seen our revenue from that about double or triple just in the last few months. So that's been really good. And then what else? We've got docks and we've got fishing. We came in and one of the things that we realized was that the previous owner was not allowing people to come swim or fish or kayak if they were not staying there. And so we changed that and made day, month, and annual passes available for all of those. And have sold a ton of annual fishing passes, monthly swimming passes, people coming out just for day visits. We started allowing local photographers to come use the site and charging them $50 an hour just to come and take pictures of other people out there, which is good advertising for us too. Yeah. We've hosted some big vendor events. We actually have one this coming Saturday with about 100 vendors scheduled to come, and we're expecting well over 1,000 people to come shop. And then we've got 100% of our sites booked up. So we're going to be busy this weekend.
Excellent. So I think this interests me as a topic of discussion, and hopefully it will the rest of the people here, because we've heard people talk about special events and activities and things like that. But I don't think we've ever gone into the things that you're talking about with the hundreds of vendors and the ancillary income that you're making through some of these things like fishing licenses and swimming passes, both day use, right? That's more popular, but month, seasonal, stuff like that. So talk us through, for the people who are watching this, who are either starting an RV park, thinking about it in the midst of maybe enhancing some of their income, looking at the economy and thinking, how can I supplement some of this stuff? How hard is that to start? Where, what's the first trigger you would pull that's easiest? Things like that.
Yeah, I like the low-hanging fruit idea when you're looking for building a business up and trying to boost revenue. The low-hanging fruit for us was that we already had a lake sitting there, not being utilized hardly at all. We had a swimming pool sitting there, hardly being utilized at all. And so we started to run some Facebook ads. We started to post on our Facebook page, pictures of the lake, pictures of the pool, stuff like that, putting out the information as far as day, month, annual passes. And really right off the bat, started getting some people in. As those people came in, they started telling friends. And so that has really expanded our revenue coming in off those just ancillary things. That was the lowest hanging fruit because it was something we already had. And then we looked around and we thought, okay, what else do we have? We have a big field that doesn't have sites on it right now, at least, maybe one day. But we have a big field that doesn't have any sites. And we thought, what could we do out there? And so we decided to host a Christmas. It's the German word for Christchild Market. It's a big German Christmas market tradition that they do every year there, because my family and I went a couple of years ago.
I went to Germany and did it like 2022.
Yeah, us too, actually. And so maybe we walked right past each other. I thought you were German. I don't know. But yeah, so we looked around. So, okay, we've got in the field. We did this thing in Germany. How can we do that in Mississippi? Name it Christkindlmarkt, because it'll grab people's attention because they're like, oh, what's that mean? And it worked. We had about 70 vendors register, about 55 showed up. And then we had about 750 people on site that day coming in, and about 70% of our sites were full for the night. And that was in late November. And so that was a pretty good shot in the arm right there. But yeah, for that, really, it was posting a Facebook event page. I ran some ads. I only ran ads for a month for that event. I ran about $200, $150 worth of ads on Facebook. And we had 750 people come and pay us $5 a piece to get in the door. And we actually didn't charge vendors for that event because we just wanted to see what would happen. But then we've got this upcoming event happening this Saturday that we've sold for $25 a piece. We've sold about 100 vendor slots. And then we're going to charge $5 to get in the door again to anybody coming in. And we started advertising it in January rather than only having 1 month. So we're expecting it to be a much bigger event than the last one. But really, I think with things like this, it's kind of just like deciding you're going to do it, looking around, seeing what you've got available as far as space and time limitations and stuff like that, and then just getting started somewhere.
All of this ties together, right? So I think it's interesting. I'd love to hear from Greg, from your perspective of as you go in and consult with some of these campgrounds. And I know Jeff's the finance guy, right? But you're really smart with that too. Maybe just not all the numbers and writing them down, right? But so as you consult for some of these campgrounds, how do you look at some things like that and pick them out for a campground of, I'm walking through your park and here's what I see that maybe you're underutilizing or not utilizing, you can take advantage of or charge for or not charge for, things like that. And then I think it plays through to Candace. I'd love for you to talk about some of the opportunities for them to market some of those ancillary things through CampSpot, or not CampSpot, I'm sorry. Ooh, you're going to slap me for that one. True State as part of the reservation process, add-ons and things like that. And just, I said CampSpot because I was talking to somebody yesterday about add-ons and they were using CampSpot. That's why it was in my head. So that, and then I really think it flows through, right? So if we can teach Richard how to do big events, he can burn through electrical meters, pass them on to Craig, they can list on Supplier Spot. Everybody wins on the whole show.
Circle of life.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely circle of life. Yeah, it very much depends on, we obviously try to make all of our solutions custom tailored. So a lot of it depends on just taking the pulse of the people that we're talking to, because some folks are, they've got 15 sites and they're completely burned out. And those sites are full like 20% of the time. They don't want to add anything else. And those are, that's typically the type of park that a serial entrepreneur like Craig sees and goes, wow, they are not there. There's all this low hanging fruit. In fact, it's laying on the ground spoiling, right? So we take their pulse first and then we go from there. But yeah, when you start eyeballing those things, even if you're really, my old park, we were very busy on the weekends, but through the week, why not sell swimming passes for, we have a beautiful swimming pool that I built in 2012. Sell swimming passes from Monday to Thursday. At first we thought, nobody's going to come for that, because of course they did. Especially kids are out of school. Mom needs something to do. We're not just swimming in a pond anymore. It's a very upgraded experience. So even if it's small, we always encourage owners. Again, if it seems like they're going to be into it, we try to steer them that way, because that money typically falls directly to your NOI. There's what is your additional cost? You're already there operating. If the pool's already open and you have to have lifeguards because it's open, then put people in it. An empty pool, I used to look down at mine and we didn't have to have guards. It made me nuts. I'm like, there are people in the park and no one's in the pool, but I have to run the pool. I still have the same costs. So if you can bring that revenue in, it's dropping straight to your bottom line, which is straight into your pocket after taxes and things. I'm not saying that you should put anything in your pocket without going through all the proper channels. Let's get that out there first. But all of those things, from the festivals that he's talking about, the vendor fairs, if you've got the space and you're near, and again, proximity to a population center is obviously going to be important. If you're on the edge of a national park, you're maybe not going to be able to build this stuff in because people maybe have to drive hours to get to you. But then again, if you're on the edge of a national park, you're probably so full, you don't need that stuff anyway, right? You really don't have any more time or space to get people in because your park's just full all the time. But yeah, looking into those ancillary drivers is really important, because too often owners look at their park, they see the campsites, and that's the end of it. That's as far as their imagination can take them. And they're just missing out. That's the best part, frankly, about investing in campgrounds, in RV parks and campgrounds. If you're into the mobile home industry, you've got your site rent and maybe your monthly fees. That's the end of it. You don't really have the opportunity to open a store and lead activities and do golf cart rental or pedal cart rentals and have festivals and sell swimming passes. RV parks and campgrounds offer the commercial real estate investor, the serial entrepreneur, multiple revenue streams on one property. And then you dovetail that right into a property management system like Staylist, where you can easily track all those expenses, and it'll also help you, I don't know, Candace, will Staylist help you market those as well? Or is it just going to help me sell the wristbands and keep track of the cash from that?
So internally, yeah, you have the ability to use two-way texting. You also can do email marketing through it. So it really just depends on what way you're trying to market it and who you're trying to address. I would say think of it as more of like in real time, people that are physically there. You're going to use conduits like you talked about earlier of Facebook, SEO, hit up Brian, Insider Perks, think. Yeah. All those type of flows are going to PPC, pay-per-click. Those areas are going to really drive the business there. But once they're physically there, trying to address it, like you said, having people looking down at your park and being like, there are people here, two-way text them, tell them, hey guys, today we're going to have this ancillary opportunity. And that's, and it could be something along the lines of, maybe you bought like an ice cream cabana area where you're just selling ice cream, something like that, something simple. And then you'll just see that ebb and flow income come.
Yeah, one thing I'll throw out there too, if you don't mind me jumping in here, like Craig and Richard, what I'm starting to do, and I've got a couple planned already, is some of you probably don't know about my background, but I have a DJ business that I started back in 1999 here in Colorado. And throughout the years, it's been very successful. My son's actually starting to take over on the DJ side of things. But part of that business is I started doing trivia. And trivia, a friend of mine owned some bars and grills, and I started hosting there, where I actually found a system where you could utilize your phone or an iPad as your buzzer device. And then you can broadcast the questions up, has a scoreboard. So where I'm going with this, is like Stalis is saying, is people in your park, and what I'm doing at these trade shows is I'm actually going to be hosting a session called Suppliers Trivia, where I'm getting questions about suppliers. But the key part about it for the campground owners is I'm going to actually show them the system that I use, and they can bring it back to their campgrounds and do this fun trivia where they just plug it in. You use your own router. I bring a router with me, and that way you're not using the Wi-Fi and taking down. So just throwing out there to Craig and Richard, and what Candace was talking about is you could two-way text them saying, hey, trivia's tonight. Or even if you want people to come in from outside the park and play trivia, that's easy money, especially if you have a bar and a restaurant. You can do food and drink specials and give them an extra point if they buy the food special. A lot of cool ways of getting more entertainment into your park very simply and cost effective.
I love that. And I owe you trivia. I'm so sorry.
You better get it to me because you're one of mine.
Okay. So I did want to answer one thing. Greg, I didn't want to conclude. If you were you done with your thoughts and stuff on, I know you were asking about Stalist.
Yeah, for the most part, I was just going to throw in one more, my favorite of these, the ancillary incomes. And I don't see enough, especially smaller parks. Anyone can do it. If you've got a pool and you've got a deck, and even if it's not a pool, if you've got a swimming pond, if you've got a swimming feature at your park, rentable cabanas, just the canvas sided, you can get them at Lowe's, Home Depot, any of the big box stores. They don't have to be a commercial setup because you can put them up, take them down when your swimming is closed. If you're around swimming, you can leave them up. But having those things up and making them rentable to people, you know, you put a red rope, red velvet rope across it. It's very bougie. It's exclusive, right? And I can, oh, how much is that? It's 50 an hour. If I get my kids out of the sun for a little while and we've got a little place we can sit in here, we're still right poolside, but we have our own private little cabana and I can draw that curtain if I need to, I don't know, change a diaper or something, whatever it is. Those things are maybe my favorite and I don't see enough parks doing them. They rent so well at the parks that I do see doing them anywhere on an hourly rate or on a daily rate.
Time
that
slots.
Is probably
you,
my favorite
one. How do you handle the guests though that get like way too big of an ego from staying in them? Like the woman where you just walk by her and she's like, stop looking.
Yes. If you have poolside cabana Karens, you just double the rate. That's it. If you have a cabana Karen, you just double the rate. And if she pays it, you double it again next time until she stops paying it. And then it clears it up for guests that aren't going to Karen you to death. That's
perfect.
Sorry to Karens everywhere. I'm sorry.
That's what we needed. We need to get
to Richard. I had to grab that.
I feel bad because we've let Richard go here. Richard,
yes, Richard, you lots of time. Yes.
So tell us, Richard, about your campground.
For way too many years, I was in IT project management. My wife is still in IT, so she's got a day job. The question was, what are we going to do when we retire? And that's when we decided that we'd go into a business that's dealing with people, that's dealing with the outdoors, that has projects that it can actually complete, not like an IT project. So things are different. When I take a look at the background of everybody, we all come from diverse backgrounds, but we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of Amish country. We don't have a big audience that we can draw from. One of the first things we did is put in a 3/4 acre swim pond, lined, sandy bottom, 12 feet deep. We're only open 6 months of the year because we're in Wisconsin. And one advantage that we have here is the Wisconsin Association of Campground Owners is one of the best in the country. And we're very active in that. And we have vendor fairs in our annual meeting. We have 160 vendors that show up for that. We've learned a lot from the sessions there and from other campgrounds. And now I hosted a meeting of the maintenance managers of parks in the area. So it's more regional than the whole state. So we're doing things like that. But our big thing now, I think, is that we make almost no money. We're not doing the smart things that...
Why are you laughing about that? You have to be laughing about that.
One, as an example, we have an annual music festival. From Friday noon until the wee hours of Saturday night, we have 33 bands on 3 stages.
Wow.
We charge $40 for people to come in. They can stay for an hour or they can pitch a tent and stay for 2 nights. So we've brought in a lot of people. We bring bands in from about 5 different states. And our total cost for the bands has been like $5,000 or $6,000. So we're at break even, but we're not making much money on it. We have 15 vendors that come in for the weekend. It's different. Another thing that we do is we have a number of spin weekends. Yeah. $40 for the whole weekend. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think I feel like maybe that's why you're not making the profit.
Yeah. I would immediately bump that to $60 per day.
It's probably not a bad idea. We also have a number of weekends in Wisconsin that almost every campground has a theme for their weekend. It's just the big thing. One of ours is we have Rescue Fest, where it's a fundraiser for a local fire department. They're bringing in fire trucks and helicopters and canine units. So they've got a lot of different things, but it's a fundraiser for them. We get just about nothing out of it except the sale of some t-shirts. We have Survivors Weekend. It's free camping for cancer survivors right at the end of the season. I'm a cancer survivor, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. Another thing that we have is discount for veterans. It's interesting. People can guess my background, where if you're a veteran, you get 10% off. If you're a Navy veteran, you get 20% off. If you're a Vietnam veteran, you get 30% off. And if you're a Service Academy graduate, you get 50% off. So,
and if you're not a veteran, will it charge 50% more?
If you're an Army veteran, you get 50% more. Air Force will charge 40% more.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So we do a lot of things that aren't really raising money for us. We put all the money back into it. I've planted over 300 trees. We have 3 miles of trails now that go through the woods. And it's just a whole different mindset. We haven't really focused on it. Our day passes right now are $10 on a weekend, $8 on a weekday. And we did raise a substantial amount of money doing that, because you get the mom and the two kids coming, or the group of ladies that want to come out during the workday. So we're having some things like that where we're doing some revenue production. Our store is pretty active. We probably do $100,000 in the store a year. So we've got opportunities that we're just not taking advantage of.
Hey, Richard, I got a question. Are you allowed to sell liquor at your campground?
Packaged goods only.
Okay. So
our township was dry until we petitioned them about 5 years ago, and Wisconsin and dry don't go well together. So now we have beer, wine, and liquor in the store.
Okay, but you can't pour it. They just can buy the bottles themselves.
Right.
Okay.
Richard, I have a question. I heard one of the biggest things that I heard from you was close 6 months out of the year, therefore can't make X amount of money. Have you ever thought about doing long-term storage? And does your software have the capability of doing that? Which I think they do. So like storing people's rigs and then moving them out?
Well, we could do that, except with our seasonals, they bring in their campers and we let them stay on their site 12 months a year. They just can't come in for 6 months. They've got that. We've got a field out in the back. We could think about having some storage for other things like boats and things like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think this is interesting. Like, just listening to you talk, and this is partially how I've built my business, right? I put all my money back into the business. I want to constantly just either hire new people or invent new technology or sign up for new software that makes the services better. And so I'm looking far ahead and I'm thinking, okay, if I build this, then I'm going to start to, and I already am, right? But I spent the last first 8 years not, but I'm setting myself up for a future where I can make a lot of profit. And I feel like that's what I'm hearing coming out of you, is I'm setting a foundation for when I'm ready, my wife and I are ready to retire, that this is going to be able to operate itself a whole lot easier than jumping into a campground like we make fun of people who are just going to retire.
And this way, it's partly the reputation we're trying to build. Since we opened, every Saturday at 4 o'clock, we have happy hour. We provide free popcorn, and it's a social hour where everybody comes up by the store and they bring their drinks or they buy them from the store. So people get a feeling after a while. 70% of our visitors are repeat visitors. So we get people coming back again, but we don't do a good job of marketing to get other people. We've got huge tent areas.
It feels like you maybe do. Like, you might not do the Facebook and the Google ads and the things, but it feels like what you're doing is very good marketing, actually.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of word of mouth. And that is the most effective, but we should have other things. Like, how do you appeal to tent campers? Most people, 47%, I think, of people say they camp in tents. I don't believe it, but that's what I've read. And we get very few, but we've got 20 acres, 25 acres of woods. that people can go and they can be as remote as they want. They can be like in a national forest. So we haven't figured out how to reach some of those target markets.
Are you marketing?
We're not marketing much at all. I use chat AI and I send out a constant contact periodically, but that doesn't go very far.
Have you heard of Insider Perks?
I've heard of it.
I feel like I pay you to do this stuff.
Yeah.
He's excellent. I've had him on several of my clients and truly has changed the landscape, and exactly what you're asking for, I know he can help you with it.
No, it's something I'm going to have to look at. Yeah. Yeah. I'm open. We're
not trying to sell you anything. We're trying to make you money from your electric meters. That's the purpose of the show.
Yeah.
Like, always happy to have a conversation. I think it's interesting to me, though, that forward thinking. Talk more about that mindset briefly, because obviously it's a situational. Not everybody can buy a campground and then all of a sudden just wait to make a profit for a number of years. But talk to us about that mindset and why you think it's going to be successful long term.
Thank goodness my wife has a good day job, so we do have some income to pay the bills. But to me, we changed the name of the campground when we bought it because it had a terrible reputation. And over time now, people say, oh, that's such a clean and safe campground. People feel comfortable there. And that word is getting out more and more. We're getting people, we go to a couple of trade shows, RV shows, and I don't know how we can quantify it, but I think that we are making the campground better and people see it, they feel it. And as we get more capital in, we'll do some more expansion and we'll be able to do some more. I think one of the things that you wanted to talk about here was suppliers and partners. And I think there's a huge difference. I think we have a few partners, but we mostly have suppliers. And there's a challenge to get people into a different relationship with us because we don't have a whole lot of choices out here in the middle of nowhere.
You got 160 vendors in all this trade show. How many do you want? So talk to me. I think the last question I have for you, just in, obviously, unless anybody else does that I can think of right now, is talk to me when does it get to the point? Is there a fixed date or time or scenario or amenities that you want to add? When do you get to a point where you flip the switch and say, I want to start making money?
I don't know. I think we're there now because everybody, when they look at it, it's silly, I think, because new campgrounds they can't show a strong NOI because we're putting money back into it. I had to buy a tractor. We didn't have a tractor. I had to buy a skid steer. We didn't have a skid steer. I'm expensing a lot, and a lot of it's capital improvements. But for me, it's not like I'm a third generation campground owner where everything is paid for already. For them, the net is going to show up as being a lot stronger than ours. So what we need to do is start improving our net so that we can get a better multiple of it. But I argue that's not the only predictor of what something will sell for. I don't think that's right.
I tend to agree with you. I don't know if the banks would agree with us, but that's the hard I'm, on your, I'm on your side too. I think, okay, so does anybody have any questions for Richard before I...
No, I have more of a comment. I just want to all of the owners here really give you kudos. I've been looking, if you see my eyes wandering a lot, it's because I'm looking at your websites and I'm listening to your stories as I'm seeing the visual storytelling. And I can see some really amazing amenities that you guys put in place. And even though you're saying, hey, I'm not doing a lot of marketing, I'm not doing this, it would draw me in when I'm picky, right? So I just want to really commend you all on A, being really raw and honest, because I think what this whole purpose of why Brian put this all together is to really inform campground owners on everything. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that way, Richard, that also, but it's a little harder and pride may get in the way to say, hey, listen, I know I should be making more money. I know I should be doing these things. I don't know how to do it. How do I get there? I think that this speaks volumes to character. I think it also shows that both players, Craig and Richard, who are running these parks, and then Bobby bringing all those worlds together with suppliers and connectivity, it's a really beautiful thing to hear out loud. So I just want to commend both of you guys, though it might not feel perfect, what you both are doing, I think is going to really speak volumes, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. So more than asking a question, you get that validation, because it's not easy what you're doing, and you're doing it really well. And yes, there can always be credits, but congratulations.
Thank you. That if I can, Brian, if you don't mind.
Yes, and then I want to have Craig read your list, Craig, because only we can see that. Not everybody can see that who's watching the show.
Okay. Yeah, but following up on that, Richard and Craig, The reason why I wanted to stay in this industry is because of RV park and campground owners and the people like on this call. I used to teach business and marketing in a public school. I didn't like that. I went to the corporate world. I've been laid off twice. Don't like that. So when I got into this industry, I went to about 15 trade shows over last year. And going to those conferences and those trade shows and just talking with park owners, I wasn't trying to sell a product to them. I was the marketing person. I just marketed the product, or sales team was there selling. But the connections I made with everybody just gave me like a real good feeling. And that's why I was like, I want to stay in this industry. And like what Candace is saying, you guys work hard with what you do all the time. And just being out there, making sure that your people, your campers are there to have a fun time or relaxing time, it makes a big difference on the down to earth type of people that I like to be around. And that's why I told my wife, I'm like you, Richard, my wife has a very good job. And I told her, hey, I'm going to ride your coattails for a little while I get something built up, because I don't want to work for a corporation anymore where I build a product up, I give them 10 times the revenue or ROI or whatever you want to call it. And they say, hey, thanks, you're laid off right before Christmas or something. Now I'm going to my little sap story here, but where I'm going with this is I met so many great people like you, Richard, and Craig. And Craig, before we got on this call, I was already talking about how I followed you for the last year, not being a creeper or stalker or anything, but in those Facebook groups, I was watching all your posts and your messages and just seeing you build out this park. Here it is a year and a half later. So just same thing Candace is saying. This is why I want to stay in this industry, is people like you. It's just a down to earth, good old type of people to be around. So just want to say that.
Oh, thank you.
I'm here to balance everybody else. I'm not the down to earth. So thank you, Bobby, for the non-compliment. But okay. Anyway, I agree. So I think we have a comment here from Facebook that I want to just, before I read the comment and we briefly talk about this for the next 5 minutes before we end the show, that's from Jerry Kitterman. Before we do that, I want to say, I want to invite anybody who's watching from the IRS to go ahead and disconnect from the call at this time. So we'll talk about tax things that may or may not work. Don't pay attention. Jerry Kitterman's comment here is, can I put solar on my unit and sell my surplus back to the campground? Now, I don't know who Jerry is, but what
he's one of our seasonals. Jerry's one of our seasonals. Okay. Highly IT oriented, and he's done a lot of work here at the campground for us.
Well, you answer his question before I misinterpret his question. Can he do that from your perspective? And then I'll twist his question around.
I have no idea how we would handle that. I don't know. We have 11 different services. We can only bring in a certain amount of wattage for each of them. And we've got every one of them. Every meter has to be read. And every meter we pay $35 a month for, whether there's any current running through or not. I don't know how we would physically handle that. I like the idea, but I don't know how we would do it.
So here's the answer, Jerry. We don't know. Richard doesn't want to lose you. But if you have 150 friends that can go down to Craig's park, gather up electricity and sell it to him so he can meter it,
yeah,
that would work.
There you go.
Yeah, I understand Jerry's question. It's like when you have solar on your house, Whatever you don't use, you sell back to the grid. So that's a good concept.
So is my thinking, though, from a tax perspective when I read it, because I thought maybe Jerry owned a campground, right? And so my thinking, would that actually work? Because none of us are tax professionals, right? But in theory, couldn't you do that? Couldn't you like have your own personal side hustle where you sold business back to an LLC and then somehow wrote off electricity costs or something like that? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I don't know if you can do it with electricity, because since you can't, you're not a licensed supplier, right? You can't upcharge on your electricity. You could put in a meter reading fee or something like that.
But you're the person, right? So if you're the person selling back to the electric company, if it's on your home,
yes.
So couldn't you sell it back to the campground? And then
I don't know. The campground isn't supplying electricity. Now, if Jerry puts solar on his unit and it takes him from using 157 kilowatts a month down to 6, he could certainly lower his electric bill because he would be using less of Richard's power. But I don't know. I don't know what the legality would be there. That's interesting. I've never heard that before, but I don't know, since Richard is not able to be a supplier.
That would work, but we're all at that time of year where we're doing our taxes for our companies and businesses and thinking of ways that we can pay all the taxes we want. We love you, IRS, obviously. But it's interesting. It's an interesting thought, I think.
Just one other thing along those lines is, so far, we've never been able to find somebody who's really understanding the campground industry from the financial perspective. My degree's in finance, but I have not been doing it for years. There's got to be a way, if we buy a new skid steer, that we can buy it through an LLC and do a sale lease back or some arrangement like that is tax advantageous to us. But it's interesting that we have not, in this area, have not been able to find anybody who knows how to do some of those things.
Oh, my partner can help you with that.
Yeah, but Jeff doesn't want to do that, Jeff or Greg. Don't put words into his mouth.
Yes, he does. Richard, you shoot me an email when this is over. I sent you my email address in the chat. I'll put you in contact with Jeff. And when it comes to the financial side of campgrounds and accounting and all, he is the man. That's why he's my partner, because we have such great skill sets. Because I know a little bit about the financial side, but Jeff is like a walking encyclopedia.
That's why.
All right, thank you.
So yeah. Greg has camp strategy, and then there's camp tax avoidance and camp all kinds of other. We just don't talk about this publicly.
It's only because you're in camp.
Okay, any final thoughts before we go here, guys?
No. Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, okay. Appreciate you guys being here for another episode of MC Fireside Chats. Thanks for Bobby for Supplier Spot. Bobby, where can they – suppliersspot.com?
Yep, suppliersspot.com, plural, two S's.
Suppliersspot.com, okay. Richard, where can they learn more about your campground?
At GlacierValleyCampground.com.
Greg?
CampStrategy.com or Greg at CampStrategy.com.
All right, fine, Greg. I said Craig, but I didn't pronounce it.
Oh, well, so you got to enunciate. I'm sorry.
Craig.
That guy. Yeah, sorry.
Mine is just AskewsLandingRV.com.
And Candace, Stalis?
Stalis.com.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us on another episode of MC Fireside Chats. Really appreciate y'all being here. I'll see you next week for an RV industry focused episode. Take care, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Joining us for this episode of MC Fireside Chats with your host, Brian Searle. Have a suggestion for a show idea? Want your campground or company in a future episode? Email us at hello@moderncampground.com. Get your daily dose of news from moderncampground.com. And be sure to join us next week for more insights into the fascinating world of outdoor hospitality.